Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we have good news on the secondary. Bradley Roby played well today. Aaron Colvin played well today. Clint and Kamla were there. We're going to be there again tomorrow, man. Hopefully it's another bright, sunny, hot day in Houston. But Clint, let's talk about these DBs, man. This has been a positive development so far in this young season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got this one right. I mean, we talk about the struggles, and I don't ever want to fall into that category of guys on the radio that all we do is talk about the negative. And so, I mean, it's easy to jump on, pile on about the left tackle situation and the draft picks being guards instead of tackles. And I understand the frustration 100%, but you know, I think at this point, what we can tell from camp is that there has been some really, really good run at the cornerback position, and that starts with Bradley Roby. I mean, every time I watch him, so that's what I did today. I told you guys last week, I think it was, when we were in Green Bay, that I was going to really dial in on the slot corner and try to watch as much as I can in individuals and in 7-on-7 type drills, where really, truth be told, the advantage is tilted heavily towards the offense. So you find out if a guy can win and always be in position in one-on-ones, then that sucker's playing some ball now. And you watch Bradley Roby, and he's a guy that, and we'll find out more on game days on Sunday, obviously, but he's a guy that toys with people because he has top-end explosion and speed and change of direction. I mean, getting ran by is not a concern of his. You can watch DBs. And Jay Joe being in his 14th year, you know, I think he gets a little bit concerned with speed guys, and he's a little bit concerned with guys having the ability to run by him. I don't think it bothers him. I think he plays with it. He deals with it good. He's really good at, if he's beat, just taking a P.I. He's really good at staying in position where they collision him instead of he collisions them if they have a chance to run by. But, man, you talk about a guy that has the ability to jump routes. You talk about a guy that has the ability to recover after a double move is executed by a receiver. You talk about a guy that's able to really wait on a receiver to get into his cushion if he's playing soft because he knows that he can get in his hip pocket and run with him. And I see that time and time and time again as I'm watching Bradley Roby at practice. Now, does he get balls caught? Yeah, he got a go route caught on him today versus Detroit in one-on-one by a guy that I've never heard of. I can't tell you his name right now. Hell, I looked him up afterwards. I had my roster in my back pocket. I looked it up. Never heard of the guy. Caught a go route. But the technique and the it was a great rep. He was in his hip pocket. The guy made a great catch over his outside shoulders, a great throw. Everything had to line up perfectly for them to execute that go route. Bradley Roby covered it really, really well and recovered on a double move like very few corners can that are explosive. So it starts and stops, and I've told you, Rick, I believe that the success of this defense hinges on Bradley Roby's ability to obviously play within the system, but in critical situations, man up at the very least a number two or three receiver on the backside. It starts with him, it ends with him, and to this point, I don't have any hesitations whatsoever saying this guy's having one hell of a camp.
He is, and it's $10 million really well spent. We have to take this to the season and see if he can keep it up. But so far, the early returns on 21, Bradley Roby, are very, very good. He's got a good chemistry with his teammates. I see him palling around with them as well. Teammates seem to really like him. They've really, with open arms, welcomed him into that defensive back room. More importantly, he's out there making plays. And DBs are going to get beat from time to time. They don't even have to apologize about that. I mean, when you're put up to bat that many times, hell, Alex Bregman strikes out. Jose Altuve strikes out. You're not going to do it every single time. I've been pleasantly surprised, man. That's been a really good offseason get.
Well, Rick, you know, here's the thing, man. Is the corner situation is a lot like the tackle situation. Is these guys should not be – Jay Joe should not be put in a one-on-one, man-to-man, no-deep-help situation versus T.Y. Hilton. He should not be – you should have – do everything you can two of. Now, if they get you, hell, they get paid too. They get paid to create plays and draw in the dirt and have come up with formations and shifts. And sometimes your adjustments put you in a tough position and you got to go play. And J.J. is perfectly capable of that. But, you know, these are things where what you see now in camp is not necessarily what you're going to see. They're going to play a lot of man and go, hey, can we do it? What does Bradley Roby allow us to do in this defense? If we call just straight up cover one man with one deep safety in the middle of the field, and we want to see how Bradley Roby responds, but they go the other direction and they happen to beat J.J., that's okay. That's not gonna be the call in the season that they're gonna lean on heavily. They're gonna roll coverage to J.J., let J.J. use his experience underneath, his crafty, his ability to show different techniques because he's been in the game so long, and not be exposed over the top with the safety over the top, and let your man dominant guy play backside. They're going to do things like that. But right now, in order to find out who can do what, they've got it. They're okay with exposing some guys and doing some different things. That's why we'll move to the slot corner now. I tell guys to pump the brakes when you talk about Aaron Colvin having a bad camp. He may not be having the camp that you want him to. He may not be separating from the competition the way that you want him to. But be real careful of evaluating this dude, a slot corner in one-on-ones. You know, he's crafty. He's good with his hands. He's got some speed. But if at the snap of the ball, I saw him today in the snap of the ball in a 7-on-7 drill, he immediately jumps outside and forces the receiver inside. Well, the receiver runs a dig. He gets about 3 yards separation. It's an easy completion. I'm pretty sure, based off of his technique, that he would have, by design, would have had a linebacker or somebody underneath helping. He didn't do that. He didn't jump outside and allow that free inside release because he was scared the guy was going to beat him deep. So just don't look so much into the situations these guys are put into right now in camp, because they're being exposed just like the left tackles do. And then you round table before the New Orleans game and you go, hey, what can these guys do? We don't want Colvin on a big tight end. He's an undersized slot corner. Don't put him on a big tight end. He struggles going up and playing the ball. I'm not saying he does. I'm saying that's the dialogue that these coaches need to be able to have after camp, and then you avoid putting him in that situation.
So early in practice today, Matt Stafford was a QB. They had just gone live, Detroit offense versus the defense of the Texans, and Stafford threw kind of a deep out on the right side. Aaron Colvin came over, dove, and broke up the play.
Could have intercepted it. I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, it was an amazing play. And when I initially saw it, I didn't see the number. I saw a Texan flash and make the play, and I was like, 22, Aaron Colvin looking good. I think the fact that we didn't talk about him after the Green Bay game is really good news. He played the entire first half.
Agreed.
I don't believe they threw at him one time. And they could have been working out other guys and they wanted to see this or that. But it also could have been that Aaron Colvin was just putting a blanket on whoever he was guarding in that game. So I'm feeling better about 22 right now. I really am.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I still hadn't seen enough. I've tried to keep an eye on him. I will say this. I believe that Brian Calhoun, I believe he's a guy that one of the team drills I watched today, he was out there with the ones. I believe he's a guy that can get the job done. But I believe you're really set with Bradley Roby, Jonathan Joseph, Brian Body Calhoun, and Aaron Colvin being your cover guys across. Because at one point with Calhoun still in the game, Detroit changed personnel. I'm sorry, still in the huddle. Detroit changed personnel where they ran Colvin in there. So now you've got four damn good cover guys in the game with ball hawk Justin Reed running on the top shelf behind everybody. So it's just a good look. I think the secondary is in much, much better shape, assuming they can stay healthy, than we probably give them credit for at this point in time.
I also want to talk about Jonathan Joseph, and he's kind of a player slash coach right now. And yeah. I'm not trying to shovel dirt on his NFL grave. That's not how I say that. I'm saying he's doing extra. We saw him in the bubble getting on offensive coaches for not blowing the whistle and throwing a flag when the play clock was running down. The other day, Sunday it was, Clint.
He told the refs today they threw a penalty, and one-on-one they threw a pass interference flag. He said, y'all, one more flag and we're going to run y'all's ass up out of here.
Couple on Sunday, he was on the field and barking out instruction or complaining. I couldn't really tell which. Right. Bill O'Brien yelled at him to get off the field. Right. He's very engaged.
Yeah, he's very engaged. And look, when you get to the point where Jonathan Joseph is, a big part of your value is your mouthpiece. I mean, if you're just a quiet, timid dude that happens to be a 14-year vet that can play a little bit, and you're more concerned about your career off the field or the next step for you, then it's really hard to keep a spot. But when you're a guy that's engaged, one can play. Obviously, they all got to be able to play, and he can play. But when you're a guy that is willing, like today, to me, I heard him 15 times in one-on-one and seven-on-seven yelling across the field to Bradley Roby in the corners on the other side, finish, finish, finish. I mean, that's what coaches do. And it's a constant. I love constant reminders. I don't like flashes in the pan. I love constant reminders. And Jonathan Joseph is constantly telling guys to finish, finish, don't quit, finish. And that's a big-time value that a 14-year vet brings to the table.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.